This is Start Making Sense, the weekly podcast of The Nation magazine, and I'm John Wiener. This is our Christmas show, and now it's time for our special Christmas music feature.
Our guest is Sean Wilentz. He's the official historian at the official Bob Dylan website. He also teaches American history at Princeton. He's written many books, including The Age of Reagan. It's out now in paperback. We turn to him today to help us understand what the heck is going on with the new Bob Dylan Christmas album. We reached him today in Princeton. Sean, welcome back to the program.
Great to be back, John.
Well, I want to start by listening to track one, Here Comes Santa Claus. It's a Gene Autry song, which I have to say is one of the most irritating holiday songs ever written, even before Bob Dylan sang it.
Here comes Santa Claus, here comes Santa Claus, ran down Santa Claus Lane, fixing and blixing and old as reindeer, pulling on the reins. Bells are ringing, children singing, all is merry and bright. Hang your stockings, see your fairs, 'cause Santa Claus comes tonight.
Hang your stockings, say your prayers. Sean, what is this? Is this a joke of some kind?
No, it's not a joke at all. Although, you know, you could turn it into one by imagining the person who's really singing is Vincent Price. It gives a certain macabre aspect to the song. So you can look at it that way. You can look at a Bob Dylan song any way you want. But no. This is all very, very straight. This is Bob Dylan in many ways looking back to his own childhood. And he's singing the songs that he heard as a kid in Hibbing, where everybody, you know, listened to Christmas music, whether you were Jewish or not. And he's recalling those times and those songs in that spirit.
And I understand that the album itself is a benefit, and that the royalties are all being donated to charity.
In perpetuity, that's right. All of them, it's going to go. The royalties are going to Feed America in the United States, and I think that there are some, there's a group in the UK, and there's another group to, you know, to feed the homeless. You know, basically, this is Bob Dylan in some ways being the character Pretty Boy Floyd from the old Woody Guthrie song. He's, you know, providing Christmas dinner to the families on relief. It's just that he's not sticking up a bank, he's sticking up his own fans.
Well, let's listen to another one. I'll Be Home for Christmas. I have to say, when Bob Dylan sings I'll Be Home for Christmas, you have to wonder, is this a promise or is this a threat?
I'll be home for Christmas. You can plan on me. Please have snow and mistletoe and presents on the tree. Christmas Eve will find me where the love I'll be home for Christmas, if only in my dreams.
Bob Dylan, I'll Be Home for Christmas. Sounds like a reason to bolt your doors, Sean.
Well, you know, it's hard to say what home is for Bob Dylan, because he's on his bus so much of the time when he's not getting arrested, that, you know, being home for Christmas is a big deal for him because, you know, he's not on his bus. But, you know, this is part of what the album's about. That's a song that was originally recorded by Bing Crosby, as were, I think, 13 of the 15 songs on this album. It's a sort of his tribute to Bing Crosby, among other things. But in 1943, remember, Christmas songs during World War II had a whole different meaning. I mean, they were very. It was very touching, actually, very moving. It was one of the. It was the music, actually, that kind of held people together, wondering whether their boys, and in some cases girls, overseas would ever come home alive, ever. So, you know, this is a very moving song. It was moving in the 40s. And then after the war, Christmas music became a kind of way to assert with some aggressiveness, but to assert a kind of normality, which people hadn't felt, a lot of people in America hadn't felt, since the beginning of the Depression back in back in the early 30s. So he's trying to recapture that, in part, recapture that mood, which is bigger than Christmas in America. It has to do with a specific time and a specific place. And it's also, as I say, a sort of tribute to Bing Crosby. He doesn't have Bing Crosby's voice, but he's copying Bing Crosby's phrasing, and I know he admires Bing Crosby's phrasing, so that's his chance to do that, too.
Well, let's listen to another one. Maybe you want to say anything about this one, Must Be Santa? This one includes our own David Hidalgo, the great East L.A. Musician who's a big favorite of ours here.
Indeed, Los Lobos. He's the man. He's maybe the most gifted, one of the most gifted musicians that Dylan's ever worked with. Must Be Santa is my favorite song on the album. It's a polka song. It's basically ripped off from the arrangement of a Texas rock polka band. But it also recalls, again, his Christmas time, because it recalls the great polka bands of the Midwest of the 1940s and 1950s. People like, Whoopi John Wilfart, his real name, Frank Yankovic.
Would you please spell the last name of Whoopi John Wilfart,
yes,
please?
W-I-L-F-A-H-R-T.
Now, are you sure that this is not one of Bob Dylan's many pseudonyms?
Like Roosevelt Gook. No, I have a photograph of Whoopi John Wilfart at the Minneapolis airport taken at about the same time, about 1948, with his band. And I happen to know a lot about Whoopi John. He was quite a character. When he died, it turned out he had left money in most of the hotels of the Midwest, stashed away lots and lots of money, and basically hiding it from the feds. And he lived quite a wild life, as you might imagine, by a man named Whoopi John.
Well, let's.
I would never call you John.
Thank you for that. Sean Wilentz, the official historian of the official BobDylan.com website. From the Bob Dylan Christmas album, let's listen to Must Be Santa featuring David Hidalgo of Los Lobos.
That's long and white.
Santa's got a beard that's long and white.
Who comes round on special night?
Santa comes round on special night.
Special night, beard that's white.
Must be Santa, must be Santa, must be Santa, Santa Claus.
Who wears boots and suit of red?
Santa wears boots and suit of red.
Who wears a long cap on his head?
Santa wears a long cap on his head.
Cap on head, suit that's red. Special night, beard that's white.
Must be Santa. Santa, must be Santa, Santa Claus.
Oh, they're dancing in the corridors here at KPFK. Must Be Santa, Bob Dylan with David Hidalgo from the Dylan.
I'm dancing here in Princeton. I'm having a great time.
Let's listen to another one. Here's Bob Dylan's Winter Wonderland.
Wonderland.
Sleigh bells ring, are you listening? In the lane, snow is glistening. A beautiful sight, we're happy tonight. Walking in a winter wonderland. Gone away is a bluebird. In his place is a new bird. He sings a love song as we go along. Walking in a winter wonderland. Snowman, then pretend that he is passing brown. He'll say, are you married? We'll say, no, man. But you can do the job when you're in town. Later on, we'll conspire as we dream by the fire to face unafraid the plans that we've made. Walking in a winter wonderland.
Bob Dylan, he sounds like your grizzled old uncle who's had a little too much of the spiked eggnog at the family gathering.
I think that's the point, actually. Actually, there's the Wonder Bread singers, you know, the whitest and white bread singers I've ever heard. But you also listen closely and you hear Donnie Heron on the pedal steel. I think it's the first time that Winter Wonderland's been done, at least in recent memory, with a pedal steel guitar. Dylan adds always a touch. There are touches of the current Bob Dylan, along with the Bob Dylan, what Bob Dylan was hearing when he was 7 years old.
You know, this whole project made me think of Dylan's radio program on XM and Sirius Satellite, where we see what a connoisseur and scholar Bob Dylan is of these pre-rock, earlier 20th century genres. In a way, this is part of that project.
Very much so, except the difference is, I mean, this could be a show from that series called Christmas. But the difference is that he sings all the songs.
Yeah.
He doesn't just introduce them. But in fact, one of the songs, What Must Be Santa, actually did appear in the, I forget the name of the band, but anyway, on his Christmas show from XM, you know, Sirius XM. So, yes, there is a similarity. He knows a lot about it. He wants to, you know, this is an active archival, you know, he's an archivist, among other things, and this album is an example of that.
Let's listen to another one. Of course, he has to do Old Little Town of Bethlehem. Bob Dylan's Little Town of Bethlehem, I can only say there must be some way out of here.
This is not one of my favorite cuts on the album. there are others that are better. Little Town of Bethlehem, yeah, not his best performance.
Well, you know,
some of the songs just don't, I mean, Christmas produced a lot of interesting, wonderful music, which is why so many people cut Christmas albums.
Mm-hmm. Right?
Everybody from, you know, Frank Sinatra to Ray Charles to Barbara Streisand. I mean, even the Jews cut Christmas albums, right? Neil Diamond has a new one, even, the second one. There's a songbook, a real songbook. But some of the songs are very difficult. This is one of them, actually. And the Christmas song, the famous Mel Torme song, is also, you need a real range to sing those songs well, and I'm afraid that this doesn't quite do it, at least not for me.
We're speaking with Sean Wilentz. He's the official historian at the official Bob Dylan website, bobdylan.com. One thing that strikes me about this music that's so puzzling, so confusing, so troubling to the Bob Dylan's classic music,
yeah.
Bob has always made a practice of pulling the rug out from under fans who thought they had him pegged.
Right.
He spent a lot of his career refusing to fulfill his fans' wishes.
Right.
And this is certainly part of that.
You could see it that way. I mean, the other thing is this is a cover album, right? I mean, these are all cover songs. There's not a single Bob Dylan song on here that he wrote. And whenever Bob Dylan does a cover album, it usually means that there's a change. There's a change going to come. He did Self-Portrait, which got roundly panned, especially by, I don't know if I can say this on the air, but you'll remember Greil Marcus's famous first line of his review in Rolling Stone of that album, which is, what is this blank?
What is this crap, but not quite crap?
Not quite that, yeah. And then, then he went on to do, you know, Blood on the Tracks.
Right? Yeah.
Then he did the cover albums in the early 90s, you know, the two folk acoustic albums, Good As I've Been to You and World Gone Wrong. And the next thing he comes out with is Time Out of Mind, which is a whole different thing.
Yeah.
So who knows what's going to come? Here's another cover-up. So it's Bob Dylan trying to, and I actually kind of mean this. It's him plumbing his depths. He's trying to find something. He's trying to locate something in his soul, in himself, in his music. And this is the way he does it, by singing other people's songs, singing a whole album of other people's songs. So it's interesting for that. You have to watch out for that. The second thing is, this is the first time he's done a Christian album since Shot of Love. In other words, this is a spiritual record. This is about his beliefs. I mean, you know, he's a Christian of a very weird kind. So you have to see it in that context, too. I mean, there's a lot of different ways in which Dylan is... And that also disappointed his fans, by the way. You know, when he went gospel, people thought...
Yes, just disappointed is putting it mildly.
Yeah, people went nuts. Although I think that, in retrospect, if you go back and listen to some of those albums, not all of them, not Saved, but if you listen to Shot of Love again, you will be very surprised. There's a lot of really good music on it.
Well, gotta serve somebody. In retrospect, does have some strengths.
Slow Train Coming, absolutely. But go back and listen to Shot of Love sometime. You know, the song about Lenny Bruce, it's him kind of being semi-secular. But anyway, my point is only that Bob Dylan is doing a lot of different things at the same time, and he's doing a lot of different things at the same time in this album. It just sounds so schmaltzy and innocuous, but nothing with Bob Dylan, even at its most schmaltzy, is to be taken completely at face value.
Well, I think we've got time for one more. Let's listen to, from the Bob Dylan Christmas album, Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas.
Have yourself a merry little Christmas. Let your heart be light. Next year, all our troubles will be out of sight. Have yourself a merry little Christmas. Make the Yuletide gay. Next year all our troubles will be miles away. Once again, as in olden days, happy golden days of yore. Faithful friends who are dear to us will be near to us once more.
Faithful friends who are dear to us. Sean Wilentz, I don't know, you can say, you know, this isn't singing, it's croaking. But, you know, when Tom Waits croaks, a lot of people think it's great. Or when Louis Armstrong sings this song, and he, you know, he doesn't have a beautiful voice either in the classic
Absolutely.
Sense.
I don't know what the complaining's about. I really don't. It's the same voice that sang, you know, Love and Theft. And, the, you know, I don't quite get it. It's that, I think it has more to do that you're used to hearing these songs sung by Nat King Cole.
Yeah.
Or by, you know, someone with, or Mel Torme, someone with a very smooth voice. Bob Dylan is certainly adding a new dimension to Christmas that we didn't hear before. But it's a voice that is instantly recognizable, you know, much as, say, Louis Armstrong's was. You know, when you hear those voices, it takes you two nanoseconds, you know who you're listening to.
Yeah.
And so immediately that conjures up a whole series of associations. And then it's not just the voice, which at times falters, it doesn't hit the notes, you know, on that track in particular. But again, it's about the phrasing. Listen to how he's parsing out his words. Listen to how he's doing that with the music. It's actually a very much more complicated record than people would think about, because he's taking all that seriously. Maybe more seriously now than anyone else, because this song has been sung by a million other people.
Yeah.
I mean, Bob Dylan, when he sings, you know, I don't know, Summer Days or any of the songs that he's done recently, he's the only person who does those. Maybe Sheryl Crow will do them too, but very few anymore, right? It's not like Peter, Paul, and Mary. It's his song. Now he has to go up against the entire galaxy of American singers going back to, you know, Eddie Cantor and before. So he has to add something new to a tradition, and that's part of what's going on here too.
Sean Wilentz is the official historian at the official Bob Dylan website. He also teaches American history at Princeton. Sean, thank you for helping us understand.
Thank you, John. It's always a pleasure.
We spoke with Sean Wilentz about Bob Dylan's Christmas album in December 2009. You've been listening to Start Making Sense, the weekly podcast of The Nation magazine. You can hear more interviews like this one at thenation.com, and you can subscribe to Start Making Sense at iTunes Podcasts, Pocket Casts, Stitcher, or wherever you get your podcasts. I'm John Wiener. Thanks for listening.